A judge in New York City has issued an injunction against a strike by transit workers. The Transport Workers Union is in intense negotiations with the Metropolitan Transportation Authority. Union members have authorized their leaders to call a strike if there's no new contract by 12:01 Monday morning. In issuing an injunction, Justice Jules Spodek ruled that state law prohibits public workers from striking. He said a strike would be debilitating and destructive. The news summons a flashback. Midnight, New Year's Eve, 1966. A newly elected Republican mayor, John Lindsay, is sworn in and turns to face the television cameras.
Fellow New Yorkers, first of all, may I wish you a happy 1966. As you may know by now, negotiations between the Transport Workers Union and the Transit Authority have broken down. As I became mayor at 12 midnight tonight, I have an obligation to the public, and I must ask the public's cooperation in surmounting the hardships that may now be imposed.
That's from the audio archive of member station WNYC. For the first 12 days of 1966, New Yorkers struggled with standstill traffic. They carpooled, thumbed rides, walked, did whatever they could to get by without mass transit. John Lindsay's adversary that January was the longtime head of the Transport Workers Union, an Irish immigrant named Mike Quill, a man with a history of heart attacks and an unnaturally thick brogue. Quill pointedly mispronounced his honor's name. It was always Mayor Lindsley. Since public employee strikes were illegal, a court ordered the transport workers to stop their strike. Mike Quill was defiant.
The court have issued an injunction, and several of us are going to jail. Just as we promised you, the judge can drop dead in his black robes. We will not call off the strike.
The judge survived the ordeal, but Mike Quill didn't. Then, as now, Jimmy Breslin was a New York City newspaper columnist, and he was there the day that Quill made that statement.
Mike Quill's Irish brogue was an interesting brogue. If you sat down alone with him over a drink, there wasn't a few traces of it. If you got him up on the stage with the subpoena in his hands from the judge, it got rather thick. He went to Kerry, his native Kerry, immediately.
So there was a completely different public accent from
yes,
the private accent.
Yes. The brogue was a very highly useful thing.
Mike Quill was taken off to jail, suffered yet another heart attack.
Yeah. Oh, that was my best day. What are you talking about? There was a civil prison on the west side of New York where people were brought in. I had a dear friend of mine, Red High, was a bookmaker. He was in there. He was a man about town. They had him on a case, and he wouldn't talk, so they put him in the civil prison. He's sitting there pining, yearning, if he could just go uptown to Jilly's on 52nd Street and see Frank Sinatra. He knew Sinatra, mm-hmm. And he couldn't wait. Now here's the strike on, and Quill is going to be taken down at his prison, and it's clear he's going to collapse. He was in awful condition. So I seized the opportunity. I called him right away and said, have a doctor right at the door. Don't you dare even shake hands or do anything with this man. He's going to collapse. He had a doctor there. They opened the door to bring Quill into the lobby of the jailhouse, and he collapsed right on the floor. They got him out immediately to Bellevue and saved his life for a short while. Anyway, the warden called me up. He was everlastingly grateful. So I said, well, you can do one thing. You can let Red High out of there tonight so he can get up to Jilly's.
Your friend the bookie, this was, yes.
And he did. I says, he'll be back by 7 in the morning. Don't worry.
Well,
and it was true. He let him out. Well, and Quill then went to Bellevue. Quill said in his hospital bed, dying, he said, it's just as well. It's time we turned it over. It's the black man's turn. We've had our time. It's his turn. Turn it over to them.
I mean, by we, he meant in that case, the old Irish who had founded the
Union. He was talking to the Irish.
Listening to the voices of both John V. Lindsay, who died very recently, and Mike Quill, who was a casualty of that strike.
Yeah.
Those were two radically different sounds of what being a New Yorker was all about in 1966.
Well, one thing now. They come together at the end, two different roads to the same objective. Lindsay was the best mayor for race in the history of the United States. Nobody was in his league. Nobody. Quill was the best labor leader in terms of race in the history of this country, I think. So the both of them were heading the same way with different accents.
Very different accents.
Yeah.
For all of their talents and their eccentricities and their good intentions, John Lindsay and at least Mike Quill and the Transit Authority let the city descend into a 10-day long traffic jam that went on at that point. It was incredible.
It got tough. What happens at the beginning of these things, now I've seen two of them, is the euphoria sets in. People love it. It's an adventure. It breaks the monotony of life, the strike. Nothing works. The buses, the subways. Look at it. That goes for about 2 days, and then it sets in. The dreariness and the dragging of trying to get to work. Then it gets bitter.
Well, you ready for another transit strike?
No, I don't think. I think a strike is a horrible word. A strike, to me, speaks of people at home who don't get paid. That's horrible. Hideous.
Well, Jimmy Breslin, thank you very much for talking with us about it today.
Okay. Good.
Good to talk with you again. Jimmy Breslin was a columnist way back in 1966 for the late New York Herald Tribune. Today, he's a columnist for Newsday.